Let's go back to chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to pick up at verse 6 and read through the remainder of the chapter. And keep in mind, the primary message in this latter part is really godly discipline. Now, I know nobody likes the word discipline. I know I never did growing up. As a teacher, I know none of my students really appreciated the fact that I was a pretty strict disciplinarian, even though I wasn't that way when I was a kid. I learned from that. But, you know, discipline is something when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, which is extremely important. And what he's going to be doing with the saints here at Thessalonica now, after dealing with what we looked at this morning, is from this point on, discipline yourselves to live in a manner pleasing unto the Lord. I mean, this is the bottom line. And, you know, it does take discipline to do that. It's not the easiest thing in the world. It just doesn't come automatically to us to live godly in Christ Jesus. You have to work at it. And, of course, by working at it, I mean you have to really work by looking to the Lord to give you the grace and the strength moment by moment, day by day, to discipline yourselves to live in a manner that's pleasing unto him. And this is kind of what Paul's final admonition is, more or less, to the saints in Thessalonica. From this point on, you know, discipline yourselves to godliness, to live godly in Christ Jesus. And some of the things you're going to find as we read through these few verses, as I read through them, I thought, well, some of these things really are not relevant in the literal sense, but in a figurative sense, in a spiritual sense, they are relevant, and that's what we're going to focus on more than anything else. But let's read through, starting with verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are as such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God will bless the reading of his word. So, as I mentioned before, the primary message here in this particular section of the chapter is godly discipline. And we're talking here about personal behavior and our public testimony and how vital that really is. Your personal behavior. And that can cover a gamut of things. Now, he does focus on one thing here, and I don't really feel that the specific thing that people here, we have people amongst us who are not willing to work and are depending on other people to feed them. I know there are areas where that does happen, and we know that it has happened in times past. We've had groups of people who go off and sit in the mountain waiting for the Lord to come back, and they don't do anything. And the basic, you know, idea that he has here is that Paul is charging them in verse 6 not to merely do as I say, but do as I do. For his command was issued from the highest authority, which is, of course, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this deals with our walk in the Lord. Now, you know, the word walk refers to our manner of life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, in verse 6, we have the word disorderly. It's the second time that Paul has written that particular word. In his first epistle, it was found in chapter 5, verses 14 through 21, and it referred to a military term. And he was saying to the folks there, don't be disorderly. In other words, don't live in insubordination before the Lord and before your brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, in this particular narrative, it's the same word, but it means idleness rather than insubordination. You know, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and a servant, a devoted servant, as we talked about this morning, of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no place for idleness. Now, he's specifically talking about evidently a problem that it's possible that there were some who were so engrossed in looking for the Lord's return that they stopped working. They just thought, oh, we're just going to sit here and wait. It's coming soon. We're not going to be doing anything. They were very inactive. And as a result, the others had to really take care of them. And of course, he's addressing this small group of people. And as I said before, I really don't think that's a problem here at Northwest Gospel Hall. I know it's not true back in our home assembly and wherever I go. I don't know of anyone who is not working because they're so excited about the Lord could come at any moment and they're depending on other people to take care of them. But I also know in our society today that this is becoming more and more a real concern, where people in general are looking to other people just to take care of all of their needs. Well, as Christians, you know, we are to be responsible, you know, to do the things we need to do, to supply the things we need to have. And I'd like to have us look at this more so from the standpoint of sponging off people to eat, and those kind of things. But, you know, the idea of being inactive in your service for the Lord amongst those you fellowship with. And, you know, as you think about this particular aspect of things, Paul says, you know, if a man doesn't work, well, then he shouldn't eat. Well, you know, on the other hand, when you think about this from a spiritual perspective, if you are not involved in caring for, in helping, encouraging your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're just kind of sit back doing your own thing and wanting them to care for you and minister to you and all of these types of things, well, that's really not proper behavior as a child of God. So we're talking about walking, and of course, walking is demonstrated in the conduct of your life, the way you live your life as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the context of this passage makes several things clear. The example they received from Paul was one of tireless hard work and self-support. If you just go back a few pages of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul just reminds them in that letter, he says, "For you, remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God." All right? So Paul says, look at our example. Yeah, we came here to serve the Lord and to serve you. We didn't come here just to have a free meal, to get something from you. We came here to give, you know. We worked, we labored. And we know Paul did work in labor with his hands to help support himself. And, you know, the idea he's trying to get across here is that he didn't want to be a burden to anyone. We should not want to be a burden to anyone. Now, on the other hand, we have to also understand, I know there are people who don't deliberately not work, but yet can't get a job, or they have a job that can't support them. And you know, in a situation like this, you know, we are to treat one another in love as well. You know, if a person is in need, well, if we can help meet that need, you know, pray about it before the Lord and do what the Lord would have you do. And I think what I would like to emphasize here more than the physical aspect, because I don't think, again, that's really a problem here. We have to deal with the spiritual aspects of things. I mean, all of us stand in need of something spiritually, including yours truly. If you recognize somebody is struggling spiritually, well, reach out to that person. Minister to that person. Yes, it may take some of your time. It may cause you to have to forsake some of the things you want to do. But you know, you do it as unto the Lord. And I think what he's trying to encourage them, these folks here, is, you know, yes, you are to look for the Lord's return. And we're not discouraging that. See, we are to live in expectation of that every day. Because it could come any day. But see, the bottom line is, instead of sitting back, waiting, doing nothing, being idle, he says, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be actively involved in the Lord's service, devotion to him, to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your life should be profitable, you know, as you look for the Lord's return. And we're going to focus on that in detail here in just a few moments. In verse 10, he just simply says, if an able-bodied Christian refused to work, and I'm not going to just specify physical work, I'm talking about spiritual work as well here, neither should he eat or be fed. You know, it's one thing to come and be fed and be fed and be fed from the Word of God. Oh, that's wonderful. I love hearing this brother. I love hearing this sister share the Word and all these things. It's so wonderful that I can just sit there and take this all in. Well, yeah, it is nice. I enjoy when I can sit back and really listen to a good message or get encouraged from God's Word. But does that mean that's all I'm supposed to do? No. You see, the idea is we all are supposed to be using the spiritual gifts the Lord has given us and be willing to use them even if it does cost us something. So he's admonishing a few people here because they obviously were probably doing that. But, you know, basically I think he's also at the same time encouraging the saints, you know, yes, you look for the Lord's return. But you see, when you're looking for the Lord's return, you had better be actively involved in the Lord's work. You had better be involved in putting his interest before your interests, the interest of your brothers and sisters in Christ before your own interest. And we're going to just focus on that a little bit, and then we're going to move on to the remainder of this and spend a little bit more time on three or four specific things. Verse 11 kind of brings out the inconsistency of the false spirituality of our idle, disorderly saints in relationship to what the Lord commands, that his children work to provide their brothers and sisters in Christ according to his words. Those who live in disobedience to the Lord are to be disciplined with the purpose of restoring them. And we'll just take a moment to talk about that, because you see, brothers and sisters in Christ often do fall into sin. We don't always call it sin, but it is. If you're not living in obedience to God's word, it is sin. Well, you know, if people have fallen into sin and are not doing what they're supposed to be doing before the Lord, they need to be disciplined. But remember, we're not going to get into this whole thing of discipline, but it's the purpose of the discipline is not to get rid of them. The purpose is to restore them back into fellowship with the Lord and with their brothers and sisters in Christ. I think you're pretty much aware of that, and we're not going to dwell on that point today. Now, we are to note the heading, at least of starting verse 6. In my Bible, it says, Christians should work while waiting the Lord's return. And I don't really think the primary emphasis there is on physical manual labor. Christians are supposed to be working. Well, for who? Well, for the Lord. For your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to serve one another. We're to love one another as the Lord loves us. The Lord loves everyone in this room equally, fully, completely. He doesn't love one over here better than another one over here. And that's the way it's supposed to be with us as well. Now, I realize that personalities are sometimes conflicting. I mean, we are human beings. We all have our own nature, our own ambitions, the way we respond to things and do things. And, you know, sometimes our personalities conflict a little bit. And when you have that, it's a little bit more difficult, obviously, to fellowship with one another the way you really should. But you see, that's where, again, you have to call upon the grace of the Lord to work in and through you and in and through this other person of whom you have a little bit, you know, contentious feelings towards. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. There are people that I get along with better than others. You know, there's some people who just don't appreciate my personality, my sense of humor, whatever. And therefore, they just kind of just soon be with somebody else as to be with me. Well, the thing we have to understand is the Lord sees us with all of our disabilities. We all have them. None of us are perfect. And what we have to understand is the Lord looks at us all the same way. He understands and loves us in spite of the way we are. And we have to make a better effort ourselves to be that way with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, those who live in disobedience to the Lord are to be disciplined, yes, but remember, it is for the purpose of restoring, bringing back together those who are in fellowship with the Lord. Now, as believers should, as I said, looking at this note, Christians should work while waiting for the Lord's return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verses 13 through 18, the Lord makes it very clear. He indeed reveals the Lord is definitely coming back. But we do not know when he's coming back. But he's coming back. And we are to live in that expectation of his return. But the question is, what are we to do in this period of time where we're looking in expectation for the Lord's return? And, you know, all of us have different feelings about that. You know, I think the older you get and the changes we have experienced, those are people my age, over our 70-some years of living in this country, and the changes that we have seen and how it has really just gone downhill and downhill, and it's not just in this country, it's all over the world. Oh, yeah, I'm really looking for the Lord's return. And even if it be through the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't bother me. I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord. But you see, he hasn't taken me home yet. He hasn't come yet. Well, what am I supposed to do? Yes, I'm supposed to live in expectation of that. But you see, in the process, what am I supposed to be doing? See, he's trying to encourage them to move forward spiritually in their lives. And as I thought about these particular things, the question is, you know, what am I to do in the meantime? Yes, he's coming back. We don't know when. So what do I do now? Well, I come up with four words that are taught in Scripture that give us wise and practical counsel, and maybe you've heard these before. I don't know. I'm sure it's not unique with me. But these are the four words that came to mind. The first one is found in Luke chapter 19, so just turn there for a second. Luke chapter 19. And we're not going to read the whole scenario. It's the situation where the 10 minas are given to some people, and then they're told what to do with it. But now I just want to focus your attention on the first couple of verses here, starting with verse 13. Verse 13. So he called the 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, in my translation it says, do business till I come. It's interesting, the literal rendering of that word do business is occupy. You're to be occupied until he comes. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now I know you would never say that verbally and out loud in front of anybody. I will not have this man, the man Christ Jesus, have authority over me. And I don't think you honestly believe, you wouldn't do that. But it's amazing. If you aren't occupying doing business for him until he comes, you're ignoring him. You're not doing what he asked you to do. Now, as you think about this word occupy, it does mean to do business. And to me, that means you're going to live responsibly, you're going to work diligently, and you're going to plan wisely. And you could go on and on with that. You know, and as I look over this group, you know, you have young people here. You know, having been a teacher for many years, I used to really talk about these things quite often, even though it wasn't in the subject matter. But just because of the way they were behaving and doing things and not doing things, I would say to them, you know, you have to learn to live responsibly in relationship to your education. You have to work diligently at studying and doing the lessons that you're supposed to be doing. And you have to plan wisely. And it's amazing how many were not doing any of those things. And then, of course, when the end result would come, oh, they're all up in arms. It was everybody's fault but their own. Well, you know, the thing is, the Lord's coming back. And it's important that you understand that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are to live responsibly before him. We're to work diligently for him. We're to plan wisely. Plan wisely. You know, in life we want a good retirement plan. So we plan for that. And for those who plan wisely, those of us who are older, yeah, we're doing okay. But you know, when it comes to spiritually, planning wisely is with what in view. But when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm hoping I will be receiving some reward for my service for the Lord. You see, if you don't do business, you don't occupy. You see, you don't live responsibly before the Lord. You don't work diligently for the Lord. You don't plan wisely, looking forward to that blessed hope and what lies ahead for you and what the Lord has for you. And I think some of us are going to be pleasantly surprised and others unpleasantly surprised as to reward and what we're going to have and what our responsibilities are going to be. I don't think we'll be jealous of one another. I've often kind of jokingly said, I hope I really get a big job when I get to glory in the new kingdom, in the new heaven and earth. What does that mean? That means I did something down here to earn that job. You know, we just can't live as we please, and then the Lord would just pat us on the back. You know, we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think probably in some way we're going to hear that. But some of us are going to get a bigger, well done, good and faithful servant. And some of us may be in the form of a whisper. You know, this is just me talking. Okay, I can't tell you what's going to happen. But I know one thing. We're looking for the Lord's return. One thing you should be doing is doing business. Now, there's a little saying that I learned when I was a little kid, and I've never forgot it. I'm sure you all know it. But it's this: only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If you haven't heard it before, I'll say it again because I want you to remember it. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Great motivation as you think about doing business. All right, the second thing is in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Not too far from where we are. verses 11 through 14, but the key verse is 12. Well, let's just read 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. I'm going on. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus, great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. So the second thing I would suggest we should be doing is purifying. Purify your life. As you look for the Lord's return, holiness is vital. It is vital. You know, I can't imagine the thought of going into the Lord's presence, whether it's by the rapture or through the valley of the shadow of death, which is that quick, I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord in his presence. And while I was being brought to the Lord, I was living in sin. You know, holiness is so important in the life of a believer. If I'm really looking forward to the Lord's return, in addition to being occupied doing things for the Lord, I should make sure that my life is pure and holy before the Lord. And you say, well, Bob, I sin every day. Yeah, well, I do too. But you see, when you sin, what do? You better confess it immediately. Get things right. The Lord can't really use you if you're allowing sin in your life. That has to be taken care of. You know, he's redeemed you. He's reconciled you. He's declared you righteous, holy. Well, that's the way we're supposed to live. And particularly in view of the Lord's return. You know, if indeed he is coming again, there is one thing that I want above all else. And I trust it's the same for you, and that's personal holiness. In 1 John 3, chapter 1 through 3, it points out that living in expectation of the Lord's return will have a purifying effect on or in your life. We aren't going to take time to turn to that, but make note of it. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Living in expectation of the Lord will have a purifying effect. If you honestly thought the Lord was coming today, I think an awful lot of confessing would be going on. I know probably in my life there'd be several things I'd have to talk to the Lord about, knowing he was coming a little later today to make sure that was taken care of. You know, purification is thing. Our standing, which is sanctification in Christ, is holy and blameless. Well, our state, our walk in Christ, should also be the same. We should live holy and blameless before him in love. So purity is something else we should be focused on as we look forward to the Lord's return. The third thing is found in Mark chapter 13. Again, you can turn to it or you can just listen to me read it. Mark chapter 13, starting with verse 31. Heaven and earth, well, this is the Lord speaking. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants to each of his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, what? Watch. Watch. That's the third thing we want to mention here briefly that should be upmost and foremost in your mind as you look forward to the Lord's return. And it's interesting, as we went through those particular verses, if you still have them, you can check them, else just take my word for it, because I took it right from the word itself. You know, there's three commands that the Lord gave in this little passage. In verse 33, he says, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Verse 35, keep on the alert. Keep on the alert. 37, stay on the alert. Stay. Now, all three of those little words are written in what is called the present continuous tense. It's an ongoing thing. So the idea is in verse 33, be ye being on the alert. If you stop being on the alert, you're no longer on the alert. The second one, keep. Keep on keeping on the alert. If you stop keeping, you are no longer keeping on the alert. Stay on the alert. Staying on the alert. See, it's an ongoing thing, present continuous tense. So it's not all right for me to be on the alert for a while and then stop. It's not all right for me to keep on the alert for a while and then stop. It's not all right for me to stay on the alert but then stop. You see, alert here, watch, means your eyes and ears are focused on God and His Word. You know, there is a practical way to deal with this. Spend time in God's Word every day. I can't tell you how much time, because you only know your time frame. Some of us have far more time than others to spend time in God's Word. But I don't care how busy you are. You're too busy doing the wrong things if you don't have any time each day to spend in God's Word. You have to, see, be in His Word. You have to keep on being in His Word. You have to stay in His Word. It's an ongoing process. And we have to understand how important the Word of God is in our lives. See, somebody has once said, and I really appreciate this little statement, so listen carefully, because I think we can inverse it as well. It's so true. Those who become increasingly more sensitive to spiritual things fix more and more attention on His coming. You know, the more time I spend in doing God's will in my life, the more I'm associated and looking forward to His coming. And as I read that over and over, I thought, you know, I can inverse this. You know, that means turn it around, and it kind of means the same thing, but reinforces it in a different way. If you inverse this, it goes this way. Those who fix more and more attention on His coming will become increasingly more sensitive to spiritual things. You see, if I focused on spiritual things, it focuses me to look at and realize He's coming again. In the reverse, if I'm looking for His coming, really looking for it, it's going to force me to be doing more spiritual things for the Lord. You see, it's a very simple little point. We are to watch. Keep on watching, looking. But that means we're going to be involved in the things of the Lord. We're going to be involved in the Word of the Lord. And the fourth thing is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I just want to read starting with verse 23. And you see from this one, of course, the fourth thing we should always be doing is worshiping. Worshiping. You're all familiar with this passage. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This is the cup in the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now you all know that passage probably by heart. And you say, well, boy, I'm sure glad I was here this morning at the Lord's table because I was worshiping him. Well, I hope this isn't the only hour you worship him. I mean, definitely we should be here at the Lord's table. And you know, worship is, what is worship anyway? Well, worship is giving to God. I can recall on a couple of occasions, one, somebody came out and said, boy, I didn't get anything out of that meeting this morning. This was the breaking of bread. And the dear brother who had to listen to that statement responded, well, you weren't supposed to get anything out of this meeting. You were supposed to be giving in this meeting. See, worship is giving to God. It's not getting from God. You know, we love all the things the Lord gives us, has given us, will yet give us. But you know, if the Lord is really coming, well, I want to be giving to the Lord. And I trust this morning, as you gathered here, that you really gave something to the Lord. And that doesn't mean you had to do it out loud. In fact, in this meeting, it's almost impossible to get up sometimes. You know, I have things that, you know, all of a sudden, somebody's up. That's wonderful. But I want you to understand, you don't have to be one of those getting up to be worshiping the Lord. We know our dear sisters in Christ are asked not to do that in Scripture. Well, does that mean they aren't worshiping the Lord? Well, nonsense. Probably some of the greatest worship comes from our dear women saints who are worshiping the Lord, giving to him honor and praise and glory. But you see, that hour ended. Are we done worshiping now for the week? Well, if I'm living in view of the Lord's return, which could be today, it could be tomorrow, well, yes, I worshiped this morning, but I shouldn't stop now because it's in the afternoon on Sunday and that part of the day is over. This should be an ongoing aspect of our lives. We're to give to the Lord. And there's so many different ways he tells us how to do that. Worship is giving to God. I also remember one time somebody came out of the Lord's table and said to my uncle, who was a football fan, most people in our family are, but this, he said, first thing this guy said to my uncle was, well, what'd you think of the game yesterday? And my uncle, I never forgot, never will forget. He says, how in the world can you walk out of what we just experienced and talk about a foolish game? Think about that. I don't think much worship was going on in that person's life. I don't, at that point. He was more occupied with what went on with the game. You see, worship is giving to God. And you know, we can do that in so many ways. We can't go, have time to go over all these things, but you know, it's just to get the point across. You know, if we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ's return, and I know we are, well, we have to understand something. You see, if we engage in these four things, occupy, purify, watch, and worship, we won't have to get ready for his return. We will be ready for his return. And isn't that the way you want it to be in your life, in your walk, in your relationship with the Lord? Well, the last few verses here, Paul just says, this passage has been called, somebody has said, this passage has been called a peaceful close to a stormy epistle. You know, this epistle is not a fun one to deal with. It's not a fun one to speak on. But you know, it ends, and it always ends as Paul always ends his letters. It's with the grace of God. the grace of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You know, it's a marvelous truth that we understand. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, focused on thee." And that's what we should be doing. We should be focused on the Lord. I know we have a lot of demands in life, and we have to fulfill our responsibilities. I've been there, done it for many, many years. But you know, you have to allow time every day to do these four things in relationship to the Lord. I don't think he's up there counting the number of minutes, hours, or whatever every day, but he's conscious if you're doing business for the Lord when you have opportunity to do that. He understands that you're doing these other things. He knows when you're worshiping him and when you're not. You know, we're to be occupied, looking forward to the fact when that trump sounds, whether I go through the valley of the shadow of death and get into his presence, I want to make sure that I'm living right before the Lord. And if there's something going on in my life, your life, that it shouldn't be there, deal with it before the Lord right now. Get it taken care of. And do as these dear saints were doing. They were suffering for the Lord. Do the things we talked about in the first service. Now, it's kind of a challenging day, really. I know it was a challenging thing putting this thing together. Because, you know, I'm to do all these things as well. You know, that's the marvelous thing. So I trust, again, these few thoughts will encourage you, will encourage all of us to live godly in Christ Jesus. Because someday we're going to stand before him. And it could be today, one way or the other. We don't know what a day may bring forth. May the Lord bless these few thoughts. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the instruction we do receive from it. We just pray, Lord, that we will do what we've been asked to do, and that is to be doers of the word and not just hearers of it only. You have brought many things before us today from your word. May each of us examine our hearts and lives to make sure that we live in obedience to you and to your word in every aspect of our lives. Just part us now with your blessing. Bring us to our various homes in safety, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.